Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Hopefully Ian gets out. I know, poor Bonnie, she was preparing for like a call before 5 o'clock for him to get, so she had to go drive and pick him up or whatever. And I was just like, okay, look, here's how the government works.
They don't.
The judge said, hey, I want your recommendations on my desk by Thursday morning, arguably, or whatever he said, right? And so I'm like, okay, so let's say he gets the recommendations. They haven't agreed on anything because, well, duh, they're the prosecution and the defense. They're not going to agree on whatever.
They're not supposed to. Right? You wouldn't expect
that. And so the judge is going to have to take their recommendations and go, you know, it's the value menu plan. I'll take this one, and I'll take this one, and I'll take this one, and, you know, devise his own sort of Ian gets out of jail plan out of the two recommendations.
Listened back to the original bear healing? Like, in the interim. And, right, as he's wallowing away in there, just like, we've already had this conversation on the record. Read the notes.
Yeah, a couple of times, yeah. Right? Like the first bail here and then the second one, kind of the same stuff was covered. Maybe some new information was presented the second time. But
that's what I'm saying, dude. Some new information has come to light.
But at any rate, you know, so the judge has to write up the release order and then submit it. And Lord only knows what that means. I have to submit the release order, which means it's going to take some time for that release order that the judge wrote to get to, like, the people who actually do the releasing, you know? And so I'm like, at best, at the most, Ian will get out on Monday. I'm calling him Elon Muskrat.
Okay.
Because I smell a rat.
Please, go on.
Well, he thinks he's the Bitcoin whisperer.
Well,
right. He thinks that, like, he's done this repeatedly now. He thinks that if he just goes on television or on Twitter or something and says the word, whatever the word is of the day, right? His newest thing is, oh, I'm no longer going to accept Bitcoin to purchase my cars because the environmental cost of Bitcoin is too high.
Right. And so someone on social media posted something like, Elon Musk pumped it so he could get into it, right? And then now that he has it, he's like destroying Bitcoin. And I go, well, that's dumb.
That doesn't make any sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he's not destroying Bitcoin in any way, shape, or form.
Well, what is he doing then by doing this?
Say that he wasn't going to accept some other cryptocurrency for a Tesla sale.
No, in fact, he did say he was looking into other greener cryptocurrency options. I'm paraphrasing.
Whatever that means. So, but still, why pump Bitcoin if you know that the news you're going to give is going to have a negative effect on the price? Because you've accumulated all that Bitcoin. It's not like he's selling it off.
When I was in music tech, one of my instructors called my home telephone. This is before everybody had cell phones, probably the dawn of the pager era.
Oh, my goodness. There,
but yeah, I'm old.
Ancient times.
Yes, these are back in the prehistoric times.
Founded in an archaeological dig. The captain's old pager phone.
It was just a pager, not a pager phone. Anyway, he called, and we had just gotten done that morning. It was like a Saturday. No, it was a Sunday. He called on a Sunday for some reason to tell me about something to like bring for class on Monday or whatever. But that Saturday that Saturday night, we had a big keg party at the house. And me and my friend Brett and Todd, we all woke up the next day and we had an answering machine with the cassette in it, right? And so we decided that we were going to record a funny greeting for the day because the phone was like ringing a couple of times. We're like, oh, this is annoying. We're hungover. And so we recorded this message. What we did is we took the bucket that the keg was in, and we took the keg out. There was still some ice floating in it, so we took a big old, like a Big Gulp or a McDonald's large cup or whatever, and we scooped some of the ice out of it, and we put the answering machine like real close to us, okay, over the tub that used to contain the keg for a sound effect. And what we did is we hit record, and we were like, we're hungover today. And then Brett was like, and then we poured the ice into the bucket of water, so it sounded like plop, chunks plop, or plop, yeah, plop, nice. Plop, plop, plop. Call us back later.
This is the weird thing when you're going through this inflationary, I don't know if it's a bubble, but this inflationary period, is it's hard to measure things at that point because everything is going to be more expensive related to the dollar, but related to cryptocurrency or anything else, what's the value proposition? Like, are you gaining more value out of those cryptocurrencies if you're always measuring it against the price of the dollar?
Yeah, that is a good question.
So Tesla did file in February saying that he bought, or you know, it bought $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. I don't know what the price of Bitcoin was in February or how many actual Bitcoin $1.5 billion translates into.
Billion dollars.
But I'm sure it's a lot. At that time, the company said it would start accepting Bitcoin as a payment for its products. So February, March, April, 3 months later.
How's it change your heart?
Yeah, it's like, ooh, well, for whatever reason, on some levels, I'm like, oh, this guy is just a regular dude, like when it comes to Bitcoin. Like, he's not trying to manipulate it. He's not some super genius.
You don't know Elon.
But he's talking to, like, you know, some buddy of his that he's getting high with on the weekend or whatever. And like, oh, dude, have you heard about the amount of energy that it takes to mine Bitcoin? This is written by Jamie Redmond. This is from January 19th of 2021. When all of this, these comments about Bitcoin is somehow not green, right, started floating around. Oh, the amount of energy it takes us to make crypto. Oh, my God. Right.
Yeah, that's old news now, the Bitcoin world.
Jamie Redman is one of my favorite authors over at Bitcoin.com. In fact, he's so pervasive and prevalent and good at his job. He's been promoted since this article has been written. But that's neither here nor there. The headline here says, Bitcoin energy consumption is far more efficient and greener than today's banking system.
But what?
I know. Weird, huh? While Bitcoin and a variety of digital currencies have swelled in value, a number of critics have spread fear, uncertainty, and doubt, also known as FUD, in regard to the energy consumption proof-of-work cryptocurrencies leveraged to produce new units of currency. Just recently, the software engineer Stephen Diel expressed his dissatisfaction over the environmental cost of Bitcoin. However, cryptocurrency supporters believe Diel failed to mention the amount of renewable energy used and or wasted by a great number of mining facilities alongside insurmountable costs to operate today's banking system. I don't recall ever hearing a central bank going, hey, we just bought this hydro plant so that we can make your government currency more green.
Yeah, but now you're going to start hearing stories about how the hydro plant's making it impossible for the salmon to spawn correctly. It's blocking their route.
Or we'll hear about, well, the hydro plant providing this low-cost electricity to the Bitcoin miners isn't fair to the bankers who have to rely on the actual grid to print the FRNs that they don't actually print.
Sure. And if the price of electricity got high enough to mine the Bitcoin, which would, you know, either disincentivize miners or raise the price, right, then they would seek out cheaper alternatives that may be greener.
Right. Wenatchee, Washington.
I'm familiar.
You're like, where? Well, but you're a Bitcoin enthusiast.
Oh, no. You've
been there?
No, okay. I lived in Spokane.
That's right. I forgot you were in there. Yeah, okay. Well, Wenatchee is on the, we'll call it the east side of the mountains. There's a mountain range going through the state of Washington, and that sort of divides the state into the west third and the eastern two-thirds, if you will. That is a hot spot. I can't remember the name of the company. It's a Bitcoin mining company.
Okay.
I almost got a job with those guys at some point when I was in between jobs because I wanted to work in Bitcoin, and it would have been just basically maintaining their server farm, right? Guy walking back and forth, up and down, you know, checking boxes, making sure nothing started on fire or whatever, that kind of stuff.
The other night I was watching an older episode of The Simpsons. It's 2000s. So pretty old. It was the one where Homer gets his computer and he's typing about people and starts to become conspiracy theories and stuff. And he has one conspiracy theory that he's correct about, and that's microchips in the flu shot.
Oh.
And that just kind of got me thinking about microchips in the COVID shot because I feel like that's actually a thing.
Well, and The Simpsons, haven't they sort of predicted many things? Trump being president, you know.
I feel like The Simpsons have predicted a handful of things.
Yeah.
And then some of it has been retconned onto The Simpsons. Like anything new that happens, they, you know, they forge a Simpsons episode or screenshot.
Wasn't there a South Park episode too where they like they tried to do a bunch of stuff throughout the entire episode, and anything they tried to do, they're like, no, we can't do that. Simpsons did it.
Yeah,
Simpsons did it. Simpsons did it.
They've been around for like what, 30 years at this point? Yeah. There's not much they haven't done.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
We talk about the mask. I don't want to call you out or put you on the carpet, Matty Matt, but around the studio, in the beginning, you were the very first person wearing the N95s.
I was real early to market. Oh, right. No, I had N99.
Okay. Either way. But
I do recall Matty Matt here.
The doorknob on this place went from deep bronze to bleach white because I was following everybody around. You guys were coming in to do the show, and I was spraying everything.
That's what I recall. Yeah, right. you were sort of.
But this is when is when the general herd wasn't doing anything. They didn't even know what was going on. You know, if this had been a real plague,
you would have been.
Considering the reaction time of the general public, we'd all be dead.
Yeah.
So at what point though did it kind of switch for you where it went from like super cleaning everything the mask to like this isn't as bad as we thought and I'm not going to do
I
that
think
anymore.
It was like May of last year.
Okay, so April, fairly early
April
on,
or then. May. Yeah.
Do you recall
the epiphany? Yeah. What was the thing?
Can't even remember. I was just watching the time tick by and I was watching it get politicized, and as soon as I felt it getting politicized, like, yeah, it's over.
Okay,
that's it.
The pandemic is over. The rest is just show theater.
Yeah,
at that point.
And Ian was laughing at me the whole time. In fact, I went to Home Depot and I bought all of the N95 masks they had.
Yeah, I remember you being ahead of that. You go like, people don't know. Now it was suggested last night that Ian, when he does get out, may be on house arrest in some form or fashion.
Yeah, the judge was very wishy-washy about that kind of a thing, saying that generally in federal cases they don't ask for the ankle monitoring device. That doesn't mean that he still won't be, you know, remanded to house arrest. It just means that, that he won't have to wear the, you know, the tracking device.
But remanded to house arrest, allowed to leave for work-related things.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what were to happen if somehow there was like a Free Talk Live committee that outvoted Ian and said that Free Talk Live will be broadcast from Porkfest Forkfest 2021.
Well, that to me sounds like already a work activity.
Right.
Free Talk Live has already traditionally been broadcast from Fork and Pork or Pork and Fork. Depending.
Understood.
And so Free Talk Live currently, even, you know, Free Talk Live, the entity, plans on being at Porkfest and Forkfest in some way, shape, or form. Planning as if Ian were still to be in jail. So if Ian gets out of jail, well, bonus.
All the better.
That to me sounds like a work-related activity.
Absolutely. I agree.
But what will the government say?
They can't say anything.
Well, they could say no. You're
government
still
doesn't have a mouth. It can't talk.
Well, we also still don't have the conditions. That's the suspected. The way the judge was talking, that's how it sounded it was going to go. As a gun dude, I don't really like the NRA, all of the almost all the anti-gun legislation we already have on the books did not come from leftists or, you know, Karens complaining.
It came from the NRA.
It came from the NRA lawyers writing it. God. So it was their way of compromise with the anti-gunners, so they would write the code themselves. Because
it would have been much worse.
A lot worse. But it's a pretty awful as it is, and they wrote every word of it.
All right.
So, or most of it. I don't care about the NRA at all.
Okay.
I had a membership a long, long, long time ago. I'm glad I didn't buy a lifetime membership. They're just not effective. There are other organizations out there. The Gun Owners of America are awesome. Awesome. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership are awesome. National Association for Gun Rights is awesome. There's a lot of other institutions that you can be giving your money to on an annual basis that work absolutely tirelessly with no pomp and circumstance. You know, the NRA is really old, you know, and that's cool, I guess. It's antique-y, you know, it's
vintage.
It's vintage. How effective are they?
And I guess as the resident lifetime NRA member, which I am now, I will say you're probably right. And yet, to me, it seemed like the lifetime membership at the discounted rate would save a bunch of money in the long run because you only pay it once.
A little bit of stuff has been trickling out of the ATF, and that's never a good thing. They
redefining really, terms.
That's basically what they're doing.
Is that the aliens, Terrans, and I don't know, whatever.
Wait, I thought they shut down the ATF and then brought in the AFT. Didn't Biden?
That's right, the AFT. That's the new thing. That's Biden's Space Force.
Wait,
right
and
there.
Didn't they add a letter? Wasn't it alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and
explosives?
Explosives.
Yeah, BTF.
So it could be fate. It could be firearms, alcohol, tobacco, explosives, and be spelled fate. They'll seal your fate.
Well,
but then they wouldn't be a three-letter agency anymore. You know?
That's right. Yeah. Five.
Because the bureau's in
alcohol,
there.
Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, explosives. They had to throw bureau in there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so in a sneak peek at the earliest version of whatever they're going to say later on this week, they're going to just muddle a lot of water. And one of the things they said, I can't remember exactly how it was stated, but they're talking about anything that encloses a trigger.
Oh, yeah.
So now AR-15s, you can get like a normal AR-15 trigger is a normal AR-15 trigger. It comes in two parts, a trigger and a hammer, three parts, trigger, hammer, and a sear. Unless you get an M16s and then it's another part.
At 80%, that is now a firearm. But is it a firearm at 60%? Is it still a firearm? Like, how much material has to be milled out? If they sent you a rectangular aluminum block of billet steel or billet aluminum, right? That's 0%, right? Is it still a firearm? Or if they make like one cut into that billet, you're already at the... So that part is not clear. And so, you know, and that's the new guidance, right? Like, standing guidance for so long, 80%. Not quote, a firearm.
Quote, guidance, unquote.
Well, okay. And that is a whole nother issue, right? Because this is not law. This is not regulation.
Right.
This is, you know, this is not things passed down by, you know, your elected officials. This is just the bureaucracy mm-hmm. of the ATF reclassifying things at their whim. At the behest of the Biden administration.
I haven't checked it for myself yet, but the word on the street is that, you know, whenever the ATF starts doing this stuff and they're trying, you know, feathers start getting ruffled correctly, rightfully, the ATF has like a comment section so you can go online or you could even mail a letter to tell the ATF what you think. And they have listened in the past, believe it or not. You know, enough people show some anger and they send some nasty grams to the ATF. The ATF says, okay, fine.
We won't change.
Apparently this time, the comment section isn't available on the internet.
Oh, so this is just going to get hammered right through.
Okay, so you know that I can't read. I know you just looked it up. I want to say... So,
sing
the, hang on. I want to know... I want to say, before you reveal the answer, I want to say that the words breathe and storyline are involved.
Yeah, how did you know that?
I'm a kid of the 80s, man. Like,
so am I, but you looked this up at some point. Nobody knows that.
No. I lived that song I first heard on MTV when they played actual music videos.
Right.
So, and of course they repeated things because they were basically a radio station on television. And so, like, I heard that song, but I can't remember, like, how they put the words together.
Not well.
To form the sentences.
Yeah, I'm looking at these lyrics and I'm thinking they're not very good lyrics. I don't think this is a good song. I never did think it was a good song.
Okay.
It was horrible.
Well, read it anyway.
A drum roll, please. Now, yeah.
I wear my sunglasses at night so I can. Watch you weave, then breathe your storylines.
Weave, then breathe.
Yep. And I wear my sunglasses at night so I can keep track of the visions in my eyes.
Sounds kind of creepy and stalkerish.
Like, he's got the sunglasses on backwards.
Yeah.
It occurred to me that I may look something like Tom Likas back in the day, because he used to wear the shades, to be like, yes, it's the Tom Likas show. You've got to dump that bitch. You got a DTB. That's right. 1-800-5800-TOM. Blow me up, Tom. Sorry.
Who is that?
Tom Likas?
Yeah.
Legendary radio broadcaster.
Oh.
Yeah. Still got, I think he's still doing, he's doing the online only thing so he can be uncensored, mm-hmm. but. Yeah.
Oh, the Howard Stern route.
Yeah, he was.
We're moving to satellite where we can say what we want without violating the FCC rules.
He was very much a. I think young men looked up to him as the father figure they never had, in that he would teach men how to like date and get laid and get out, right? With spending the minimum amount of money, right? He would give tips and tricks on how to do this. The type of thing, like one of his famous tips is to when you're at the ATM and you know there's always a trash can right next to the cash machine, he's like, when you go to throw your receipt away, just go ahead and real quick look through some of the other receipts, find the largest balance that you can, and then when you're out at the clubs or bars or whatever, you're trying to hit on somebody, you write your phone number down on the back of the largest nice. Balance ATM receipt you can find. And so even if they're like turning you down, they're like, no, 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 you're not my type, whatever. You hand it and you're like, look, just think about it and call me.
So a few shows ago, just a few days ago, there was a replay of a conversation that Aria and someone else was having about survival and everything. And there was an interesting conversation about the different zones as to what you can grow. So I used to live in Tennessee, and it's very cold here. And I was under the impression that, you know, we share the same zone as New Hampshire. And it was interesting to me to hear somebody, I forgot who it was, I apologize, but they were talking about
when you say zone,
sweet potatoes better in,
are you like
sorry?
Time zone?
No,
or like
growing,
on the meridian?
He's talking about growing zones. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is that gentleman on this on tonight that was talking about that?
I don't believe
no.
so. Yeah,
none of that rings a bell to me.
But I can tell you,
5-6.
I can tell you, having lived temporarily in Chattanooga, Tennessee, for like a year, and now having lived in New Hampshire for going on my second year, if not well into my second year, that you say it's cold in Tennessee, I say, if you want to know the difference between cold in Tennessee and the cold in New Hampshire, come visit us in, like, late December, early January.
I'm a lifetime freedom lover, love liberty, never sway from that. But some of the things I've been thinking about lately is to in order to maybe regain some type of, like, personal freedom, people have to start to consider balance in life, and I feel like that's where we're losing out on a lot of, like, personal interactions with people.
Are you talking about, like, the work leisure balance? Like, what balance are you talking about?
The balance between, you know, if you're in a certain age group, you've lived in a time period where you've seen, you know, old ways of doing things, and then you've seen the you know, projection into new ways of doing things. And so, you know, I think a lot of people get caught up in day-to-day life and kind of lose sight of what's real and what's not real. And as a freedom-loving person, one thing that I feel deeply about with freedom is self-growth and self-realization.
I'm going to confess, I'm totally addicted to watching Call of Duty Warzone on YouTube and Twitch.
Okay.
Like, I've got people that I follow. I love watching them play. It's way more fun than watching, like, I love baseball. Sorry. Call of Duty Warzone's way more fun to watch. And these guys are...
Well, baseball's boring to watch. Fun to play.
Right. Football's the same way. That all the modern sport, all the sports that we're used to, are getting replaced by people watching gamers on
play on like
esports.
Esports is a big deal.
I'm on the fence on this, so help me out here. Watching Call of Duty more fun than playing Call of Duty?
Yeah, because they're way better than I.
Okay,
it's frustrating.
Oh, so it's a question of skill level.
Oh yeah, they're pros. Right. They're
so
amazing.
You can't watch like a novice try and play Call of Duty and have fun.
I could just replay my own games if that's the way. watch myself suck at it.
At one point in time, I poo-pooed on this. Right? I went, why would you ever spend the time watching other people play the games when you could just play the game? Right? But then I remembered, like, back in the day, right? Like, I'm not as ancient as you. I never had a pager, Captain.
I'm a relic. It's true.
But I remember, like, you know, we had, like, a Super Nintendo or, like, a regular, and there was three of us and only two controllers. So one of us sat there and watched and would eventually rotate in.
Right.
Right? So part of the entertainment was, like, watching my friends play while I waited. You're holding up a picture for me, Captain, that our listeners can't see. You're talking about...
Oh, that was Linda Carter her prime in non-Wonder Woman garb with her hair down and just wearing, like, you know, regular thing. Somebody recently posted something of that, and I was reminded of how much, as a kid, even before I was really into girls, I was totally into Linda Carter, Wonder Woman. You know, we were talking during the break about sort of women of our dreams kind of a thing.
Sure.
Linda Carter in her prime. Bam.
Now, before the break, Dave in New Mexico, guns, threw out a question.
He's still on hold. That's right.
No, I dropped it.
Oh, you dropped him?
Yeah. Nice.
With authority. With extreme prejudice.
That? Because I was trying to close out the segment, and he was talking over me, and I hit that drop button faster than...
You're really coming into your own in the first chair, man. I mean, that is veteran technique is what that is. I'm proud of you, man. Little Richie's growing up, man.
But he was talking about point shooting.
Point shooting. Right, right. And he was saying up to like 50 yards, and that he was fairly good at it, but they don't cover it much. I guess in the rest of gun culture, I suggested that technique is more useful in close quarter self-defense situations, but I also wanted to give you a chance to get your thoughts.
Okay, so I actually adopted point shooting too early. I'm kind of new to pistols because I lived in New York my whole life. Pistols are hard to get. Pistol permits are hard to get.
Okay.
So when I moved to New Hampshire, the floodgates opened on pistols for me, so I started learning. I started point shooting immediately.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more. All for free at freetalklive.com.